When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
The virgin Pokemon gets banned in the United States. Yeah, exactly. The Chad Guntramon is like, has a gun for a dick and ass. Hello and welcome to Lore Boys, number one fake history podcast on the internet and off of the internet.
True.
My name is James Miller, and today I'm joined with...
I'm Ethan Palmer, your local door-to-door vacuum salesman. Would you like to buy a Hoover, sir?
My name is Peter O'Donohue. Thank you. I've got the robot, but I'm good. Thanks for the offer. I am also finding out. I do indeed have Notepad++ installed on my computer. So,
but have you ever considered a vacuum that you had to push instead of a robot? What about if you had to do the work too?
Are you trying to make my life worse, sir? That is a hard sell.
This go on to lawnmowers yet, or is that too dangerous?
No, there are Roomba lawnmowers.
In the prairies in Canada, like million acre big farms that are just perfectly flat everywhere have automated like GPS controlled tractors that just like harvest for them, basically, which is just like a big lawnmower.
Same brand too. It's like there's one PC Magazine best robot lawnmowers of 2023, and then iRobot also makes them, and that was the brand of my first whole $4,000. Jesus Christ, I just let the grass go wild. Fuck that.
Probably a third into Isaac Asimov's Foundation, which he wrote right before iRobot.
Oh,
I just started it this week. It's actually very good.
Okay, I'm looking at the same list.
$5,000 robot lawnmower.
I'm looking at the same list of PCMag.com top lawnmowers. We got one at 4,000 Canadian. We got one at 2,500 Canadian. The one for the longest running time, 344 Canadian.
What?
That's like extremely reasonable. I'm like tempted to buy that. You know what I mean?
The one I got for indoors was $200. The outdoor one is like slightly more hardcore. That totally is worth it.
To talk a little bit about what we're starting to talk about today, there might be a curveball or
something. Isaac Asimov,
he may have predicted this because back in 1996, the toy company Bandai released an extremely popular pocket monster toy that you needed to keep alive. The Tamagotchi.
Oh, Tamagotchi!
Yeah, so you guys have any... Did you have one back in the day?
No.
I borrowed one, and I had it for a day, and then it would cry at night and kept waking me up, so I buried it under some towels and let it die.
That's honestly, as somebody who just had a kid, you could do that with real kids, too. Well, not the last part. Just legally speaking, definitely not the last part.
Yeah. For the Lore Boys lawyers...
I remember having like a cup that I used to keep change in as a kid. Like anytime your mom would give you like a dollar to go to the concession stand or something, like I would just keep all the change in the cup, and I kept it over a period of time. And when I was like 6 years old, I dumped this thing full of pennies and quarters and dimes, and I somehow got $16.99 out of that. Like I remember dumping it on my carpeted stairs and separating all of the money and counting when I think it was because I felt it was easier to, like, I could put the money on the different ledges. I might have had autism. I don't know. So, I don't know.
Oh no, that does make sense to me, because then you're not like hunched over. It's like at a higher level. You sit up straighter.
Yeah,
it's just, Pete, you're a big advocate for the standing desk. Pete was just ahead, or Jamie was just ahead of his time in this regard.
The standing quarter counter, also known as the stairs.
Pete, throw your standing desk in the trash. You sit on the stairs of your fire escape out back.
I got to bash all the ice off with a hammer, and then I'll do it.
So according to Bandai, the name is a portmanteau combining the two Japanese words, tamago.
Tamale. Oh, okay. Sorry.
Tamago, which means egg, and uachi, which means watch. So it was like egg watch. And it, if you remember, they were shaped like a little egg.
Mr. Yeah, egg and watch.
Well, you have to hatch it, right? You like when you turn it on, it gets, and your steps make it hatch or some shit.
Yeah. So it was like, I don't think we had the step technology yet. That came later.
Okay.
But
okay,
wait, it was just,
I need to know how to investigate here. Sorry to cut you off. Are we doing Tamagotchi lore? Because you said there's going to be some twisted turns.
I'm not going to tell you. I'm in control here.
Okay. You wear the pants. You wear the Tamagotchi pants in this one.
Jamie can put us under a pile of towels and kill us at any moment, right? Sorry.
Mouthful of beer when you said that one.
Tamagotchi lore. During the events of the original Tamagotchi, an Oya Jitchi got the Tamagotchi planet drunk, causing it to sing loudly and evolve into a new form, which made the planet uninhabitable. So, in a panic, the Tamagotchis fled the planet for safe haven, and they crashed in Earth on these little eggs.
On their little spaceships.
And I'll show you the figure who's recurring in the Tamagotchi lore, who got the planet drunk.
I kind of hate myself for suffocating that alien refugee now.
He's
very good.
He's an Oya Jitchi. It looks like he's drawn in paint. I don't know if you guys want to describe him, but
Oya Jitchi's. He's got a like a tonsor. Well, he's got like the balding haircut, right? Or like a tonsor haircut where he's got hair on the sides, but not on the top, except for a single alfalfa strand sticking straight up.
Like a wig, yeah.
And then he has the the guy you're from Office
Space? Alfalfa.
You've been with two girls at the same time. That's the dream man.
He's got his friend mustache.
Where it's just like the thickest mustache, which goes right down to the chin, and then I guess would presumably continue along the chin line if this guy had a chin. No arms, just stick legs.
No nose.
Unless that alfalfa sprout is one arm sticking out of the top of his head.
Oh man,
I don't think so.
Because it's kind of got a fun bend in it. No nose, and then just a butthole for a mouth. Or a very flattened butthole for a mouth.
Two little stick legs. Like, you guys can look him up. There's like a his name's Oya Jitchi, O Y A J I T C H I. And there's a bunch of iterations of him. None of them are more detailed than this. They all look like they're drawn in paint.
That's great. Yeah. He looks like, if anybody is familiar with Super Smash or Earthbound, he looks kind of like Mr. Saturn. He's got that little that single wick hair.
Yeah, I see it.
And he was the one who started the Tamagotchi lore by getting the planet drunk, making all the Tamagotchis crash to us. There was a whole black market of Tamagotchis because they were so popular. They sold like 10 million copies and people couldn't get enough of them. So people were buying them and selling them up to 10 times the price.
Tamagotchi scalpers, dude. That's awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, we were pretty young when Tamagotchis were a thing. But I definitely have heard stories since then of people who would like, they would like make money by like buying a Tamagotchi and then like raising it past like the baby stage and then selling it like as an adult or whatever, like breeders, you know. it's a small investment up front, but then they'd make their money down the line once they'd done the hard part, like
fucking puppy mill basically for
wild
aliens.
Did we explain what a Tamagotchi is for like the Zoomers who are listening to this podcast? I have no idea what the fuck we're talking about.
So it's a little toy that you'd carry around in your pocket. It would start off as an egg and it would turn into a smaller version of itself. And then it would evolve into bigger and bigger versions of itself. Yeah. The way that you took care of it is you had to play with it. You had to feed it and you had to pick up its little poo-poos that would show up on the screen.
Yeah. It was like a little plastic thing with a black and white screen on it, essentially. Or two buttons. It had like a keychain, like every 7-year old who was walking around with these would like slap it on with their car keys that they had in their pocket at all times.
So Ethan, you'll get your answer. As silly as this is, we won't be focusing on the Tamagotchi lore. So Bandai,
it's a virtual pet. I know what we're talking about. Hang on a second.
Okay, hit me.
Can I, Jamie? Are you gonna suffocate me with towels?
Jamie is so confident that you're not gonna get it right now.
I think he has it.
Are we gonna do Digimon?
We are.
Oh, yes.
Nice.
Yeah, yeah. Nice.
Yeah, because I didn't have a Tamagotchi, but I had the Digivice that was a Tamagotchi.
Yeah. So
okay.
Awesome.
And I sold, I had the number wrong, over 5 million Tamagotchis. There was the black market. They saw the money that they could make on this trend, and Tamagotchis were aimed at young girls, but they were popular amongst everyone.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So they decided to make a new toy to market towards boys that could fight.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, hell yeah.
This one's popular towards everyone. We need a boy version. Like,
So I'll show you a picture of what it looked like. I had one of these. Note that there is a little like thing on the top where you could connect them and fight them.
Had like a metal contact at the top that they like click into it, right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. A plastic on one side and a metal on the other, and they would just kind of like plug in to each other.
So this very much looks like a 1950s television set, where it's the black and white TV. It's got like three buttons, which kind of look like knobs on like the one side, with like the screen offset to one side. And like for how big the box is, like the screen, like especially I guess kids today, like you'll be so used to your phone, like the screen is just the entire phone, right? This is just like a this maybe like 20% of the entire surface of this thing is actually screen.
Well, they probably had to make room for the four batteries you probably had to put in it, right?
And, like, and it's a,
some insane shit like that.
It's a screen on top of a static image background, right? So like that, those foothills that you see behind the Digimon in this picture is like, that's always there even when you turn it off. And then when you turn it on, it just shows like the pixel, just black pixel outline of a Digimon.
Designs are great. They only have 16 by 16 pixels to make that little creature there. And you can clearly tell it's like a little Tyrannosaurus or something, right? Like
It's like a dinosaur with ears or something.
Dinosaur with a rhino horn. And ears.
The format for Digimon starts as an egg, then it has its little cutesy version, which is its like first evolution, or second if you count the egg. And then the third evolution is like the more badass version, where it becomes like a dinosaur, or it gets cannons on its back, or it gets knives for hands or something.
Very, very similar to Pokemon, just more violent, I'd say. Like more, wasn't there a Digimon that was just a gun? Like
pretty much, I think.
I think so. But like, I know that like, because I still have, I still have a few Digimon cards. For birthday, Christmas, at some point, my mom would buy me the gold stamp card. So it wasn't a foil card, but the name of the Digimon would be in like gold foil, and I have one in the hard plastic case on the reverse side of my OG holographic or foil Dragonite that I have.
Ethan just posts one that is basically 18 guns. Like
his name is Gundramon. He has revolvers for each hand. He's got revolvers coming up over his shoulder. He's got nine millimeter pistols coming out. His head is a revolver as well. Like he's got revolvers. He's got gun barrels coming out of his knees. His ass is like a big tail that's like the barrel of a rifle, essentially. It's firing off.
Wow.
But I remember watching this show on like on Fox.
Yeah.
And like, so Metal Greymon has like rockets that shoot out of his chest. Like it straight up was just like dinosaur turns into dinosaur turns into mech. And that's that was like always the thing.
Yeah. So that like the it played every day of the week in 1999 on Fox Kids, or for us in Canada, YTV. It depends on what your channels were too, because sometimes we had access to some Fox stuff, but YTV also played it. And
44
it gets called
Channel 44 was Fox, where I could watch the new Digimon on Saturday. That was like on the air, basically.
Right. I think it was 32 or something for me. I can't remember, 33. Yeah. It's been a long time since I'd need to plug in a channel on a
it's so funny. TV, we're talking like the guy who's working on The Last of Us show right now, where he's, I don't know if any of these are fake, but he's just like, video games, man, they're just not accessible. You got to change the thing to channel 3 and it's all fuzzy. And he's like making The Last of Us show where it's like Mario or like Duck Hunt and then no video games ever. And then The Last of Us. I don't know if he's trolling or if these are all fake.
Hey, if The Witcher show has taught us anything, then he could just be that out of touch, right?
Yeah.
And I want to say I enjoy The Witcher show, but it's not it's different than the games, let's say.
I had a feeling Pete was going to guess this. People think that Digimon was just like, oh, they saw Pokemon get popular, so put Digimon out there. But the real beginnings was the Tamagotchi, which led to the Digimon. But then they did go on to try and take some of that market share of Pokemon. And they were quite successful at it. There was like 1 year when Pokemon was still popular where Digimon like spiked above Pokemon for profitability. Over the long term, not as profitable as Pokemon, but
yeah, it turns out they're not as profitable as the most profitable media franchise of all time.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. There are
eat shit, James Cameron, The Way of Water. Like,
yeah,
you're fucking you're no Raichu. What can I say?
Good fucking luck, Jim.
Yeah. Do you guys so like Pokemon came out, the game Pokemon came out in 1996. Then the Pokemon show came out in 1997, and the Pokemon or the Digimon game or like the toy came out in 1997, and the show came out in 1999. So Pokemon was a little bit before Digimon,
just ahead of the curve.
Yeah, I think like if you go by like the manga or something, like Digimon hit American shores first in some way, but was just like much less popular, and Pokemon kind of like hit first for the show and with the more popular stuff. So
yeah, I mean, yeah, it's fair. Digimon and Pokemon are both made up words that like parents and people in the 90s in the West, like it's perfectly acceptable to just assume the second one that you heard about was ripping off the first one. Cause yeah, it's very much like it's like the Asylum movie of the legitimate franchise where you've got Alien versus Predator, and then you've got the cheap knockoff Zellers, or like Walmart bin Alien versus Hunter, right? Like that.
Yeah,
sort of,
yeah,
kind of.
Yeah.
It's a perfectly fair thing to assume without internet.
Game,
yeah,
the toy for Digimon came out in 1997, and the Pokemon show or game also came out in, or the Pokemon show came out in 1997. So it's like, okay, both of them like were thought of independently, but then ended up fighting for the same space, kind of thing.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
The monster battle shonen. Right.
Yeah. Yeah, and around that time, like a lot of Japanese shows were like becoming popular in the Americas, and also Japanese literature in the form of like manga and stuff. Like in the late 90s, were getting pretty popular. So
yeah,
weebs date back to the 1990s.
Oh, there's a reason our generation is like this. You don't see a lot of like really old weebs, you know?
Yeah.
I mean,
their life expectancy is so low. It's like, I've never seen that. You don't see a lot of old weebs or fat old people, right?
I'm gonna take umbrage with that statement because in my line of work, I absolutely do. Okay.
Old weebs.
You're working in the third party video games industry. You see a lot of guys in their late 40s who just are too into anime.
Why don't you see a lot of tall, like 6 foot plus old people? Is it just because there's not a lot of 6 foot plus people?
I think it depends. You probably see a lot in like Denmark.
Maybe, eh?
People do start shrinking. Like how old is old? Like what are you referring to here?
I don't know. Like when you think of an elderly person, white hair, needs a little help with the stairs here and there.
Yeah, I think 60, 70s, you see your fair share. I think the same volume as you see like young tall people, although maybe there's like more tall people being born, because like if we were transported back to ancient Greece, Pete would be a god, because like he'd be so even little Peter would be so tall compared to all these ancient Greek men, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah, so. Me 4'11" pushing around Socrates, just like nerd.
Stuffing him in a locker, like,
yeah. Maybe it's location too, because I think Quebec is like generally has short people, like out of Quebec. Is that right?
Frenchman? I don't know.
I feel that.
Feel in my bones. Spoken like
I feel
a true
like I've
Ontario.
Heard that somewhere.
Spoken like a true born in Ontario boy, huh?
Yeah. I was just at like Christmas with the family, and I'm like realizing my dad was the short brother, because like my cousin, who's a girl, is like 6 foot, and I'm 5'9". I'm like, I got the wrong branch of the tree, man. I could have been the 6 foot Chad, but
yeah.
Instead, it's my cousin.
That bastard.
That bitch.
What? Come on. Jamie, don't do this.
Yeah, well, she's the next digivolution of me, I guess. But
right, yeah.
Digivolution?
Yeah. So there's also a really cool game that came out in 1999 called Digimon World. It was like a more mature Pokemon game set on the PS1. and it had like Final Fantasy VII era graphics. It was really cool. Like I played it, I think Digimon World 2, I borrowed from a friend, and it was a lot of fun. Like it just, I wish I could get a hold of it right now, because I only had it for such a short amount of time, and I remember it feeling so much fun. Like it is the same turn-based combat, except you have like your one or two Digimon. It's not like the full team of six. I think it goes up to three. And going through all like the Digivolutions and like the story and just exploring the world was just a ton of fun.
Yeah, like in the show, everybody got one.
Yeah.
Whereas I'm not familiar enough with the Pokemon anime. I don't know how many Pokemon Ash ended up maxing out at. I know in the game you max out at six, and that's like the
six in your party, but you can catch more and you store them in Bill's PC, right?
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
Because like in the anime, he has as many, like he doesn't store them in the PC in the anime. Like he just keeps all his Pokemon on him all the time.
Doesn't he get like 20 Taurus or something like that?
Yeah, like a ludicrous amount of Taurus, but not in North America. Because the Safari Zone episode where he catches the Taurus was banned in North America because, yes, Jamie, the park warden held a gun to Ash Ketchum, the 13-year-old boy's head in the show, and North American censorship board said, nah. So then just inexplicably in the next episode, he like summons 40 Tauruses or whatever.
That's how you know Pokemon is for pussies.
And it's the virgin boys
because we had Chad Gundramon.
The virgin Pokemon gets banned in the United States. Yeah, exactly. The Chad Gundramon is like has a gun for a dick and ass. And knees and hands and face. And, yeah.
Also, there was like straight up death in the Digimon anime. Like I know a lot of like main characters got killed by like the Dark Masters.
I was watching like a review, like a guy who did an in-depth review on Digimon, and he watched every single episode of every single show. He like played through the games. He watched the movies, and he just gave a review on it. And it's like a 3-hour video on YouTube.
We're stretching this out to an hour with the amount of research I'm going to assume you did. I mean, we truly are masters of our craft.
I mean, I think the lore boys is a little bit different than explaining every little thing in the Digiverse, but
I would think so. Yeah.
But like he pointed out some really interesting things, like in the American dub, the English dub of the show, there's a lot of problems with it. Like they were on a tight deadline. There's the main character, Ty, that's the guy with the goggles and the big hair and stuff. And he's like the leader. And he has Agumon, the little like dinosaur-looking one that turns into Greymon, Metagreymon, stuff.
War Greymon. He just goes Super Saiyan at that point, right? Because he's much smaller but can throw suns at people.
Yeah. And as the shows go on, it kind of goes the way of Dragon Ball Z, where it's like the evolutions have gone so far at this point. It's like you just keep inventing a new evolution to get out of a problem.
I mean, I never finished season two because I guess I just kind of fell away from it, but I know they had like multiple eggs that you could fuse with your Digimon, so they didn't have like a standard evolutionary line or digivolutionary line. It would just be like you'd fuse this one egg with the whatever Texan armadillo and now he's a submarine, and you're like, all right, cool, like that makes fucking sense, right?
like I could, like, can I copy paste this in and you guys actually see it? It's kind of small. Like the evolution trees really get mangled. This isn't a problem in the first season, by the way, which I'm talking about.
Just a gun with arms.
Shows like the baby Agumon to the second baby Agumon to the actual Agumon. To then it splits off to all the things that Agumon can evolve into. And there's like different base Agumons. There's like a dark Agumon. There's like, it gets bonkers to the point where there's like 30 things on a chart.
It's
not linear. If there's any diehard Digimon fans, they'll probably be like screaming that we keep comparing it to Pokemon, but that's like that's a touchstone for us, I guess. But like compared to Pokemon, where it's like it's so linear, like you get the what is it, Ninkeda, who does evolve into Ninjask and Shedinja
if you have an empty spot, because it's like the shed skin gets haunted.
Exactly. Like there's like some Pokemon which have like diverging evolutions.
Eevee is like one of the ones that gets
But that is literally like one that just like just straight lines to like whatever 12 other Pokemon, right? And like nothing too messed up there. But like I know with like some of the more recent Pokemon games, you get like the Omega versions or whatever they're called, right? Where so like much more simple than this is very it's like it's a flow chart. It goes, like Jamie said, to Agumon, and then it's just there's just a straight line up the page that just like points to seven other Digimon, but then there's also like other Digimon in like Agumon's place as you go up. So I'm like, I don't know what that means.
There's different starting ones. Yeah. It's like Agumon's weird brothers that you could start as instead. And then,
Greymon. Agumon evolves into Greymon, who can evolve into Metal Greymon or Skull Greymon. Metal Greymon can evolve into Skull Greymon or Ancient Greymon. And it's just like, why do you guys have to make this so complicated?
So I got into like the YouTube rabbit hole or whatever. So I've been listening to just like different stuff. And the farther you get down that tree, the more of a nerd the guy sounds like in the video. And like you get to like these god Pokemon and like they're basically these are god Digimon, I should say. They basically have these powers that like it's on the playground. Like, no, I'm invincible. You can't touch me. To be fair,
in grade 3, we used to play Digimon, and we all had made our own Digimon, and we would play them. And there was this one kid, David, who did exactly that. And I used to hate it, because like my Digimon, who I was playing as, would never be able to beat him. We're playing Digimon make-believe. Like, we're pretending to be Digimon, right?
Right,
And I have realized as an adult, the reason that his frustrated me so much is because I did that. And how could my unstoppable killing machine not kill his unstoppable killing machine, right? It didn't make any fucking sense that
you
I
might
never
like
lose
the
a Digimon
newest,
battle.
You might like the newest Digimons because this is like the facing off of gods where it's like this one can clone itself infinite times, but this one can kill infinite clones, but this one is able to block itself infinitely. And this one, it's like, it's just one-upping and one-upping of like crazy, crazy powers.
When you said, and here's an idea for anybody who has the pure talent to pull this off, you can have this as a YouTube video, and I promise I will plug it on the show if you do it. But when you said he sounds nerdier as he goes, I was picturing like him like reading it like this, whatever, as he started, then like over a 3-hour video just slowly starting to sound more like this and just slowly morphing into that over 3 hours. I was like, man, that's incredible. And then I realized like, oh no, it's just because he's talking about nerd ass shit.
It's like one has the power just to reflect anything back.
Yeah.
So it's like, oh, cool.
Before we get back on track here, the one time an Instagram post of ours was flagged was for COVID misinformation because the three Digimon types are data, virus, and vaccine. And I took a picture of like an old Digimon card I had that had vaccine written on it, and it was flagged by the Zuckerberg censors. It's just like, no. Robot dinosaurs are not a viable alternative to the vaccine, okay? Like, oh yeah, sorry, Zuck.
So thinking back to like just how bad the American dub was, like there's one point where Ty had to go home because his like kids were I don't know, there's some family emergency, so he had to go home, but the show had to go live like the next day, so they just had Mimi do his lines, so it's like a female voice instead of his voice.
Jeez.
Yeah, I mean, and she did her best to kind of sound like Ty, but you can obviously tell us, maybe.
That is hilarious. Oh my god.
Actually that I found, they're like, there's no explanation why it said in the video, but someone in the comments cleared it up because there's parts where it's like a really epic fight, like Metal Greymon fighting in another dinosaur with guns or whatever, and it's like this battle of like colossi, and there's like explosions everywhere, but then it's like they just for the music, they copy paste like the opening song, which is so like happy go lucky, like hey Digimon, Digimon monster, the digital world.
And I still remember
killing each other. It's just complete mishmash. Like,
there's one where he kills, because I remember the Dark Masters pretty well. I think I have the cards still. One of them is like this, like mechanical sea serpent, and its nose is a cannon, and like Agumon digivolves into War Greymon, and he like has like clawed gloves. Again, he's basically Super Saiyan. He's like human sized instead of like a giant dragon. And he like turns himself into a drill and goes into the cannon nose and just like rips apart the bad guy from the inside. It's just like, that's just 9 o'clock on a Saturday. Yeah. And it's just like, no, we can't really censor that, can we?
It's that's fucking after brutal.
The sea serpent like shoots the whale in the head. He like ghosts the motherfucker.
Oh yeah, I don't even remember that much. But
yeah, I remember. I remember the Dark Master arc a lot because that was like something I would like actively try and watch on TV. Like I'm even like something I loved, like Beast Wars. I never saw the full series until it all hit YouTube. Right.
I actually reference an episode Enter the Dark Masters later.
For one
of the facts, but yeah. So like Pokemon had way more traction, but Digimon had a smaller set of diehard fans too. So I was talking about Digimon World, the game that came out in 1999. Did you guys play it or even know it existed?
No,
definitely not.
Not a lot of people did. I think there was like 10,000 people who played it, but were like super diehard. So they continued to make them. There's even one coming out in February. Digimon World: The Next Order is coming out the 22nd of February.
That sounds pretty cool.
Yeah,
I think it's on the server. We're talking about some fucking Digimon game recently, aren't they?
There's like Cyber Sleuth, I think, is the most recent one.
Okay.
It's Digimon Story Cyber Sleuth. I don't know anything about it. I want to play the Digimon World one that comes out in February. I'll see if I actually do or not, but I love the old game, so I think jumping back. It's on Switch and Steam, too. So.
The minimum requirements I'm looking at the Steam page for Digimon World Next Order. The minimum system requirements is an Intel Core i3. Four gigabytes of RAM and an NVIDIA GeForce GTX 560.
Whoa, gigabyte. Slow down, dude.
All right.
So your laptop can run it.
Yeah, you can play it on your Digivice. Like.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Let's see. How are we doing on time? I didn't write in a break and we're at 30 minutes. So we'll talk a little bit more about Digimon. We'll talk about the movie.
The digital world.
What is the digital world exactly?
What is the digital world?
You'll find out.
It's a 12-year-old graphics card, just for the record.
Oh, for 12-year-old kids.
Okay, so you guys the after is, the break. So, bye.
See you after the break.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Welcome back from the break. Since I was surprising the boys, I didn't mention all of the people who asked for this. And there is a lot of people who asked for this one.
Yeah.
So when it comes from the patrons, we got Drifty, Air of Air, Bison, Avocado, Raw Dog, Johto180, Fragile Shark. When it comes to non-patrons, we have Flohican, Hondolo, Sarah, G.I. Jerk, Arc Lord Dark, Deadman, Ninja Platypus, XD Westy, Uzumaki, Narutoad, and that's about as far.
Nailed that one.
Yeah, that's about as far as back as I could get for now. There might have been others from who requested this, but obviously it's been a long time coming. So I'm glad to get
the people
this
demanded Digimon. Clearly, Jesus Christ, we were probably like two or three more episodes from like a French Revolution situation there where they just like storm the lore castle of Versailles so that we can kill us and then do their own Digimon episode.
We have some new patrons this week too, which I forgot to pull up at the beginning.
I've got them here though. So big thanks to Jacob Byers and Beans, who I hope is the lady lizard from Rango. If anybody has ever seen that fucking movie.
Sure haven't.
It's good.
So back to Digimon, right? Where do they come from? Where do they go? so on and so
where
forth.
Where do they come from? Metal
Digimon
Metal
Go.
Game.
Digimon Go.
Hey, Digimon, hey, Digimon, go to the polls. So dumb.
I don't know who made Digimon Go.
Yeah, yeah. Metal Greymon can have a little salami as a treat.
Yeah.
I would love.
So they come from the digital world, often shortened to the Digiworld.
Okay.
The Digiworld and the real world are.
It's not that much shorter, really. Not a great syllable. Nickname.
Yeah. One syllable,
like,
yeah.
They cut out a tull. It's like the shortest syllable.
Yeah.
Well, it's not going to be Tull World. That doesn't make any sense.
Yeah. I call it the DW.
Yeah, oh, that's a good one, yeah.
You can call it DW.
That would be like the modern, if it was an app now, it would be the DW, right?
The DW yeah. And the RW, real world,
okay,
are yeah. Interconnected. By the way, DW, Digiworld. Digiworld is one, digital world and DW is the same amount
w.
of syllables.
I said I'd call it the DW.
W. Yeah. Okay.
That's
okay.
Fair enough. DW. Yeah.
Come on.
DW.
Hey, say a W. What are you talking about? Say a W.
Okay. We honestly, me talking about it this much time is taking more time than any of the words for it. So. Yeah,
okay. And count. How many syllables is that?
Yeah, exactly. So the Digimon and digital world and the real world are interconnected parallel universes. According to Digimon Tamers, Brave Tamer, this is like one of the new Digimon shows that is like way past the time when I was watching it. The digital world's beginnings can be traced to the early 20th century with the activation of the very first computer, the Atanasoff Berry computer.
Okay.
Okay. Did you say Digimon Tamers is the show that we're talking about?
Yep. And well, not out. For long. I just used it as a reference for this one thing. But
okay,
yeah.
That's where they mentioned it.
It did originally air in 2001, so I don't know. I don't know if that's like that much later than you were watching it. But
really,
apparently, yeah, it ran from 2001 to 2002. It's like the next series, I guess, after the one that we watched.
Oh yeah,
I guess that would be the egg one, right?
I completely missed that one. I never really watched. I watched Adventure 2, which. Digimon Adventure was the one with the kids that we all know and love that we'll talk about a bit later. And then Adventure 2 is like a new, it's at the same school and those kids still exist, but it's like a new generation of,
okay, yeah.
of kids.
Okay.
Which,
cool.
yeah, yeah.
So Digimon Adventure came out in 1999. Digimon Adventure 2 came out in 2000. And then Digimon Tamers came out in 2001.
Okay. I stopped getting babysat when I was 12. And I think that's when I stopped watching Digimon, which was around the same time.
Though. You left your yeah. innocence behind.
Yeah, exactly. Because that's when I got babysat. That, what would they do? Just plug us in front of the TV.
Yeah, yeah exactly.
Yeah.
Collect their $13 and enjoy their pizza.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay. So the original computer turns on and I guess the Soviet cosmonauts that had built it did not know that they'd also created a digital world full of gun dragons.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. And like, I didn't go too deep into this, but there's different like parts of the digital world that develop. The one that we know in digital, in the adventures, the ones that I paid attention to is the Yggdrasil. So it's like the world tree server.
Okay.
There's at least three major servers and then like different subsections within those servers. So the digital world is like, it grows to be massive as computers become more advanced kind of thing.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah. And the topography of the world is a lot like Earth. You find oceans, deserts, forests, mountains, meadows, fields, all the same stuff you would find on Earth. But it can change much quicker than Earth because it's a digital world and it's based on how it's programmed. So for example, in episode 40 of Digimon Adventures, enter the Dark Masters, which is the where we get to know the Dark Masters that Pete was talking about.
Yeah,
a gigantic
series ends to like the final boss, basically.
A gigantic mountain is formed in moments in that episode. So that gives us the proof that you can like change the world just like that.
Okay.
Yeah. The only people who know about the digital world in the real world are either the computer scientists who like are working on software development and stuff like that, or helpless children who get dragged into the world.
Hey, I think you left some legacy in your code here. What does this line do? Oh, that one helps the cache pull faster and keeps the OBB files low for initialization. Cool. And this one down here, what does this do? That sucks the soul of children into the program.
This one abducts kids.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. You should really leave a comment on this, you know, so that people know what it does. Nah, you know, if I leave a comment and I get, if I don't leave comments, then they don't want to fire me, right? Because then, like, right. who's gonna parse through this and know that, oh, this is the child abduction line that we definitely don't want to remove, right?
Yeah, it's like when we take it out, nothing works.
Yeah, like, it makes no sense. Like, does my fucking Mac 2 run on the souls of children? I don't know what's going on here.
Like, or the Berry 2 in this universe.
Yeah,
okay. It's not Apple.
It's not Apple.
Oh, of course, it's a Berry.
Yeah. So it's possible for Digimon to travel to the real world, what humans call Earth. Have you heard of it?
Nope. Explain.
So it's kind of unclear. Dimensional wormholes can happen, so it traveled the other way. It's much more common where the real world has an influence over the digital world than vice versa, but it does happen.
Mm. Okay. I remember. I don't. Are you going to touch on like how the kids get chosen in the movie? Because that's a very bizarre plot point that I remember.
I'm just about to introduce the movie, so maybe you can bring it up. Yeah. So an example of Digimon entering the real world is the Digimon movie. And you might remember the scene where Greymon and Parrotmon are fighting in like an apartment complex and like smashing into balconies and shit.
That's what I was going to talk about. Yeah.
Yeah. So here I'll post a photo for the uninitiated.
It's a kaiju battle. Like, they're both monsters that are 30 feet tall. And exactly. Like, yeah. The kids are chosen because they all saw it, but apparently no one else did. And it's just like, really?
Yeah,
like it's nighttime in what is clearly a downtown, like a metropolitan Japanese city. I don't know if it's Tokyo or whatever.
Oh, and like it's a big parrot.
There's a dinosaur fighting a giant budgie.
Giant budgie with like his top beak is like a metal, is made out of metal.
Yeah, he's got a few upgrades.
And that's Greymon, right?
Yeah.
And they're fighting, and Tai sees Greymon here, which like links him to Agumon, I guess. And Tai's sister, who's like always carrying a binky, like just like her binky drops in this scene. And she ends up going into the digital world like in Adventures 2, but gets left behind in Adventures 1.
Wait,
and
what?
It turns out that someone stole her Digimon.
Okay.
And like tried to turn it evil. But then whenever she's reunited in the second show with her Digimon, like it starts to become good again. And the one that tried to turn it evil ends up sacrificing its own life to save both the little sister and the Digimon. So happy ending. And everyone's good
gets,
in the end.
She gets a cat. She gets Gatomon.
Exactly. Right? Yeah.
Gato is Spanish for cat.
Cat. It's barely even designed to be a monster. It's just a cat that wears gloves that have bigger claws on it. Like, I know it has like
claws
on.
Pretty monstrous.
Yeah. And it turns into like the most fuckable Digimon on the planet. It turns into the angel lady.
The Digimon Vaporeon.
Yeah, exactly. The most fuckable.
Okay, so first off, from this movie, the soundtrack is fucking amazing.
Yeah,
like I don't know how they got all these pulls back in like 1999 or whatever the fuck it was.
Budget, this, man.
Yeah. Okay, so I'm gonna sing it and see if you guys know it. Okay, well, the first one's the Digirap. I'm not gonna sing the Digirap.
Come on, Jimmy, come on, sing the digital rap. Come on. Okay.
Second song on the Somebody Once Told Me the World. Smash Mouth All-Star pre-Shrek.
Yeah.
Pre-Shrek.
Yeah, sure. Nice. By a few years, right?
Yeah. Bro, check it out now. Soul Brother, check it. The Rockefeller Skank by Fatboy Slim. Yeah. Looking out a dirty old window, passing by. We're the Kids in America.
Oh, yeah, okay.
That's Kids in America. That's Len. Don't know them anymore, but that song is popular today.
No, Len does Steal Your Sunshine, or yeah.
Yeah, I think that's right. Yeah. Wanna be the sunshine. I forget
Kids in America is apparently by Kim Wilde.
Okay.
It's from the 80s.
How about this one? Chicken of China, the Chinese chicken. Take one.
Oh, yeah.
Bare Naked Ladies? Watch X-Files with no lights on. Till the Maison. Yeah, it's 1 week by Bare Naked Ladies.
1 week, yeah.
Zorro was mad at Ty.
The impression that I get, I'm blanking on it right now. It's the Mighty Mighty Boss Tones, though. Normally I could sing it, but since I just sang a Canadian classic, that's all that's in my head.
It's locked in.
That's an amazing song as well. You would know it if you heard it. And there's a cute, think it's strange that there's a way of how you look and how you act and how you think. Pretend they're not the same as you.
All my best friends are metalheads. That's my first ever Circle Pit was that song.
Oh, dude, it's so good.
Mm-hmm. Mighty Boss Tones Digimon is the impression that I get.
Yeah, that's what I said. Yeah.
Okay. Oh, sorry.
The impression that I get. Jimmy's got to look it up.
It's driving me crazy. You guys would know it too.
It goes driving me crazy.
I can't listen to it because voice meter.
You fool. Here, I'll listen it. I'll listen to it, and I'll let you know what it sounds.
Oh, I was okay, hummed. Okay.
It goes.
I hummed it in the bonus content.
Okay, it goes. And there's like, I don't know, there's an old bald guy in a bow tie in the music video just dancing in front of various Six Flags attractions. I don't know.
But he'd be a Digimon too, right? So it's like, but his like bald forehead's like a metal plate.
Where do you think the Vengabus is these days, huh? What do you think it is right now?
How was that just abandoned in like some sort of Midwestern road? It's like broken down on blocks.
I'm gonna guess in Berlin, but same fate for it. But I'm gonna guess it's broken down.
Yeah, you can go on Spotify, and someone's put together the playlist for the Digimon movie. So anytime next time you're at work on your forklift and you're all at a Lore Boys episodes, check that out because it's got some bangers. Yeah. So this movie had mixed reception. It was Toei Animation. They've done a bunch of stuff that. What else have they done? So
the animation's really fucking good, if I remember, especially compared to the show. The show is very static image with flappy mouth with like English dub sort of stuff. Yeah. And unless there's like some fights, but the animation in the movie, I remember being like super smooth.
The show is made to like pump out like an episode a day.
Yeah.
But this was based on three animated shorts from like animated film festivals. They stitched them together. The creator was like only wanted to stitch two of them together, but then they ended up stitching three. So there's like kind of some conflict there, but it got shipped to the kids in America over us here. And we got it. We got all three, and it was a box office success, although some critics were against it. It made money, so who cares?
Yeah, some old geeks, some geezers didn't like what we were laying down, right?
Yeah. You say we all three. I don't think I've ever seen it. I've talked about this on the show before. The only animated Digimon thing that I can ever remember seeing is some guy had a Digimon who evolved and was like once very small and now was very, very large. And he had to figure out how to hide it from his parents. And he tried to paint it, and he used latex-based paint. And the last thing I remember was like his sister or a friend saying like, well, you have to use oil-based paint so it doesn't melt in the rain. And he was just crying, saying, I can't afford oil-based paint. That's like the only Digimon show stuff that I remember at all. That like
sounds like a fever dream.
It might be. It might very well be, honestly. And then I remember my homebrew Digimon that I used on the playground in grade three that I was talking about before. I remember his special ability speaking of how he was a Mary Sue, his special ability was he was a ghost who would pull you into a dream where you couldn't affect me at all, but anything that I did to you in the dream was real, like Freddy Krueger style.
Yeah,
I guess
he's just Freddy Krueger.
Right.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, another criticism of the show that we had, we have like the few character. I'll get into this in a second. I want to finish up the digital movie here. The movie begins as like a prequel to the show, with like the leader of the normal gang as Ty is a little kid, and he sees like that big combat between his future Digimon and a giant parrot. And then later on in the movie flashes forward, and the kids have already met their Digimon in the Digiworld and have come home at this point. So they had like this really emotional, like when they're going home, saying goodbye to these Digimon, which they spent a whole season with, and they've grown together and all these evolutions and things they've overcome, and they had to go home to the real world. But they're able to access the digital world through their Windows 98 computer in the movie and see their little Digimon on the screen.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
It's so goofy. I know there's one where they're like riding through the internet where they like they're like holding onto like an email envelope, like a magic carpet, and like flying through a pipe, basically.
The kids go into the computer. They have their touching reunion since they had to leave them behind. But the whole thing for the movie now is an infected Digi-Egg appears on the internet, and it hatches into a Digimon who devours computer code, causing chaos to the world's computer systems. It's Diaboromon, which I'll...
Yeah, he also, like, tries to launch nukes.
Yep, I'm getting to that one.
this is just the story of, like, the fall of the Black Wall in Cyberpunk, right? Like,
oh, yeah.
Or the creation of... This is, like, the recreation of the Black Wall when, like, the net got overrun, right?
There's a different solution. They don't just quarantine it, but, yeah.
He really reminds me of... it's not Hexadecimal, the other villain from Reboot.
Just Megabyte?
Megabyte, yeah. He really reminds me of Megabyte. Just the purple in the hands, I think.
He's a little lankier than Megabyte. Megabyte's got a stronger
He's got Megabyte's core. Chest and shoulders. Like, he's got the big shoulders, you know what I mean? He just has spindly little spaghetti arms.
He does have spaghetti arms. So this is Diaboromon. He's able to duplicate himself. He infects the Pentagon's computers, and he launches nuclear missiles at Colorado.
Fuck you, Colorado. Just like, I love these like Japan writers, like Japanese writers who are just like, let's pick like a really important place in the United States. Like, oh, Aspen, duh.
Yeah. That's the one American postcard that a writer had, like, put up on his cubicle.
That's where, in their defense, that's where the Digidestined live. So he's trying to get rid of
from
the
Colorado.
Yeah.
That's where the kids in America are from.
Exactly.
Okay,
right. Yeah.
Oh, it's because there's an American Digidestined.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. They're all from America in our version of the show. I guess I don't know what Japan says, but
I don't think that's true. I remember them being in Japan in the show. I could be wrong. Again, this is like trying to dredge up memories from when I was eight.
Yeah. You trying to dredge up memories from when you were eight versus Jamie who researched it today. I don't know who I'm going to believe here.
The show might be different than the movie too, but in the movie they're from Colorado.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And again, it might be a dub thing, but probably not, just like setting and stuff like that. Like,
yeah.
I don't think
Mount Fuji or Colorado. Like,
yeah. Mount Fuji is like a singular Rocky. Huh?
Yeah.
Yeah. Fuji Mountain Cold is like the
Fuji Mountain Cold. Yeah, you can tell if your sake is cold if the bottle's still blue.
Mount Fuji on your
blue
light.
Bottle right next to me too.
Yeah,
it's sake,
super
which
cold.
Is great.
He does have a blue sake bottle.
Yeah, so a fun part of this is the whole way that the Digidestined are interacting with this is through early 2000s computers and internet.
Yeah.
So, like, Izzy, the computer geek's, like, trying to get in to, like, help his Digimon. And, like, they're calling their friends who, like, live in different towns. You don't have cell phones, so, like, there's communication breakdowns all the time. The internet goes out for one group of them, and they have to run to the local salon to use their front desk computer. It's all pretty relatable, right? Your mom answers the phone, and then you get booted off from stopping a nuclear strike on Colorado. Yeah.
Mom! But it's an online... You don't understand, it's an online game! I don't have time to stop thermonuclear war! I can't
pause the nukes.
Yeah. Billy,
I told you no starting a new game until you thwart this thermonuclear threat to America!
Izzy, like, he's like the real geek. He even gets back in last minute by using a hotspot on a mobile phone, which very advanced for early 2000.
Yeah, damn, that was like, that's prescient.
Yeah,
I'm pretty sure my Motorola Crazer from 2008 could not hotspot.
Yeah, I was gonna say no. I'm trying to remember.
3G was like in the near future when I got my first phone. You know, it was all the craze if you had a 3G phone. Like,
yeah. So lots of stressful disconnects later. The kids are in. Both War Greymon and Metal Gurumon had been killed, but like somehow by from the kids coming back and like the power of the love, they get revived, and then they DNA digivolve into Omnimon, which is like a fusion digivolve. I'll show you the picture of
he's fucking yeah, he's crazy. Yeah, yeah. They like go they because Ty and Matt is another Matt's the like jock of the group.
He's like the broody older brother, isn't
yeah.
he?
Yeah, he had like this little lizard that would turn into a wolf, which turned into a werewolf, which turned into a mecha wolf.
Yeah,
basically
metal Garurumon, which I've yeah. said on the show for sure yeah. before. Yeah.
Omnimon's badass.
Who turns into Omnimon? Is it just the two that are his hands?
Yeah, Metal
Greymon. Yeah,
yeah, Greymon and or War Greymon and Meta Garurumon together.
Okay.
Yeah,
yeah, and they end up kicking the ass of Diaboromon and basically stopping the nukes. I don't know exactly how they do it. I'd have to go back and watch. But
hey, hack back into the Pentagon and hack back yeah. into the Pentagon and tell the nukes to stop.
Yeah.
They just stop in midair and fall in Utah somewhere.
Like, well, that's what happens in the movie. Like one of them, a nuke does just, that's like, because obviously it's like there's the timer, but also like, they like DDoS attack, another prescient thing. They like DDoS attack Diaboromon because they get a bunch of kids to send him a ton of emails.
Oh, so, yeah.
He's too fast and strong. So they DDoS him. And then okay. Omnimon stabs him in the face with a sword and his head like just splits in half. Like
I forgot
fucking
about
crazy.
That.
That is
yeah.
Amazing,
and then the nuke that they disable the warhead somehow.
Again,
but the
very prescient.
Crashes into a river and it just like lands there and everybody's like, what the fuck is going on? Like, having no idea that they were seconds from being atomized.
Yeah. Nuke falling into the river, chicken in China to Chinese chicken. Take a one taste of chicken.
Yeah.
Okay, so I said prescient and I had to look it up. The first known distributed denial of service attack, DDoS attack, occurred in 1996.
So they just okay. they just happened and they knew about it, I guess.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I do remember that now because they couldn't catch him because he like basically blinked from everywhere he was going because he was so fucking fast.
Yeah.
Until then he starts slowing down and
yeah. And then gets stabbed in the head, his skull splits in half. And he was like the corrupted pet of some other kid. Or something like that. I think that was
Sid from Toy Story when he got his Digimon, when he got his Tamagotchi.
Yeah. With the little digital baby head with the robot like lobster yeah. paws.
They do that in Adventures 2, where there's a digivice that's given to it's a D3 by that version. They give it to a kid who's evil and they have to fight any hook. There's also let me get a picture
is
of
that
this.
The kid who puts like the gears in Digimon and they're evil until you destroy the gear, or they get like black spring wrapped around their bicep or something.
Is that,
and
that
makes
like an
crazy?
Is that like an allegory for like drug addicts, like you got to destroy the drugs and there's the gear in their system?
Like yeah, I guess before. So yeah.
Actually, and there is also this guy who this is fucking awesome. He's a this guy.
I love how excited Jamie is for all this.
Yeah.
This guy, okay, he's an evil guy. Oh, yeah. He's a monkey who just talks like Elvis.
Yeah.
No, that's definitely Elvis in a monkey suit though, right? Because like there's clear like stitching on the arm, there's clear like seam lines in the head, there's like a patch zipper on the right arm. I'm gonna guess the joke was like, "Oh, Elvis didn't die," because that's like the running like.
Oh, he's
what
like
actually happened to Elvis. He's actually in the Digiverse as a monkey.
Maybe, yeah. That one, maybe. Oh, yeah. There are stitches on the
arms.
He was
like
a
major villain
he's got scenes,
for
yeah.
a while.
Yeah, Etemon is his name, and yeah. he just is exactly a monkey who talks like Elvis, and I think that's yeah. amazing.
Etemon, I wouldn't mind if I did eat Amon.
Yeah, he was a major villain for a while. He triggered the following stage of evolution. He was too strong for like the second evolutions to be. Yeah. So they had to introduce like again the next power creep. He was yeah. the trigger for the power creep, basically.
Yeah, yeah, in the second Adventures 2 as well, they get like their new Digivice, and then there's like a type of artifact that you can combine with your Digivice. And like it's like the artifact of courage or the artifact
the dog tag thing, right?
Of truth. Yeah, I forgot what they're called at the moment. Someone will tell us. But yeah, like Ty tries to trick it by like feigning bravery, but then it knows and his Digimon doesn't evolve. He's like, oh well, if I just walk into any fight, my Digimon will evolve behind me and save me. And he walks into a fight when not actually being brave, then almost gets killed.
Yeah,
he's like, oh okay, I got to really be brave, and then.
Yeah, I mean, I would think if you just walked into another fight after learning that the last one didn't work.
Right? That's pretty brave, yeah.
Now you're being brave.
Yeah. And then the next time you have to do it two times, the next time you have to do it three times.
Three times, because that's good. Because if you had to do it four times the third time, then now it's problematic. Because pretty soon, you know, you're 10, 24 times after like five permutations, you're like, oh, great. Really getting out of hand here. I'm picking a lot of fucking fights over here.
Yeah.
You just start picking fights with children, and those ones don't count, even though you're a child, you know.
So the Digimon movie, probably still worth a watch. Now, remembering some of the things that Pete said, I think it'd be like worth a laugh. Also seeing people like fumble with computers and like seeing the early DDoS attacks and all that fun stuff. Yeah. But so we have the digital world interacts with the real world. It's really highlighted in the movie where the Digimon actually come to the world and launch nukes and shit like that.
Yeah, there was an arc in the cartoon where the vampire also comes to the real world and he's like just being a vampire, and like he's another one of the villains. He like escapes the digital world and he's like seducing women. There's like a Jack the Ripper kind of thing going on too, and then and then he turns into a monster and they fight him.
Yeah, so like we have the digital world, it interacts with the real world. The reason that the kids in the show are able to have Digimon interact with the digital world as they get a Digivice at like some summer camp and then hop on a train and end up in the digital world.
Right.
And it looks a lot like the thing that I showed earlier with the contact on it, where you could fight your other... it's a little more square and less rectangly, but it's kind of obviously meant to sell toys.
Yeah, I'm trying to think of what like the modern technology equivalent for the Zoomers we could say.
It's a pager with a screen. No, they don't have that.
Not a pager, but it looks like a watch without straps, I guess.
Yeah.
Just a little box with a screen on it.
Yeah. And they carry it around. So all the kids go on a train, they bring them to the Digiworld, they meet their Digimon who have been eagerly awaiting them. So we have Ty, who's like the leader with the goggles. We have TK, who's a little kid brother of Matt. I always like identified with Matt, and my little brother is TK because TK is the annoying little brother, and I always felt like I had my annoying little brother.
And you described Matt earlier as the broody older brother. So
yeah, I like that. Well, he's a musician too. He plays harmonica.
Okay.
Yeah. Cool.
See image that Peter took in the memes channel of Jamie from last week's recording when he showed his edgy self and put his hair down in front of his
eyes.
Yes,
I was in community gaming actually.
I was in community gaming.
Oh, yeah, where I left it.
Yeah. There's Ty, TK, there's Sora. Sora's a girl who wants to be a fashion designer. There's Izzy, who's like the techno nerd that can kind of help translate what's going on in the world versus the real world kind of thing.
I know he says prodigious, which a buddy of mine in elementary school picked up and would start saying.
Oh, no.
That's how I remember his catchphrase, is because Stuart picked it up.
There's
digit in the word. Like, digit is in the word, so that's why they call it the Digimon, right?
Yeah. There's Mimi, who is like lady in a pink dress, damsel in distress, like, oh, this world is so dirty kind of thing. And like,
yeah, she's a rich girl.
Yeah,
she's the Muffy from Arthur.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. She's the Sansa from Game of Thrones I've been rewatching.
Okay.
She's the
That's gross.
Yeah. And then they all have their individual Digimon in the same. So Ty, TK, Sora, Izzy, Matt, Mimi. They have Agumon, Patamon, Bayamon, Tentamon, Gabumon, and Palmon. And they all kind of match their, like, Agumon's a dinosaur with the leader. TK gets Patamon, which is like this really small.
Because dinosaurs are so charismatic and natural born leaders, is what you're
saying. Yeah, of course.
There, right?
Yeah.
Of course.
Yeah.
That's why we're always at risk. Fascism is bringing back dinosaurs because they're so charismatic.
We're probably quick to make decisions and powerful and like charge headlong
fire,
into problems,
which is kind of like a fiery courage thing, right?
Yeah.
There's canonically trans dinosaurs, which is like just powerful in itself, right?
Yep. So one thing I had a problem with the show, or not really had a problem, but like it's kind of lame. You have TK, who has Patamon, who refuses to evolve into like throughout the show we get to see Greymon, we get to see Garurumon, and I'm forgetting some of the other ones, but like Tentamon, who's like a little tentacle thing, turns into a giant cactus with gloves, and everyone grows up and you get to see your Digivolution. But Patamon stays pretty much useless the entire first season.
Yeah, like to describe this thing, it's like he looks like a jelly bean or like a football, just with little ear wings, little ear bat wings. He's cute.
He's Hamtaro if Hamtaro had bat wings on its head.
Yeah.
Yeah. And the whole like the swelling moment in the end is you're against Devamon, which I didn't pull a picture, but basically edgy devil looking humanoid figure.
He's like another spooky, lanky leather daddy sort of thing.
Yeah. And they're all of the team is like digivolving and going against it, but no one can beat it. And Patamon finally digivolves into Angemon, and he's like a giant angel. And it's like this moment where TK, who's the weakest, becomes the strongest with Angemon, and he beats back Devamon.
That happens at the end of the series too, if I recall. Like Patamon is always the MacGuffin, where he turns into
There's Angewoman. Where they do the same thing, but they just do Angewoman, and Angewoman's like Angemon, but hot lady. And
yeah, I posted a picture of her in chat as the most fuckable Digimon.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, there she is. Yeah. Whenever I looked up was doing research, the guy, the YouTube channel I was watching that did the 3-hour retrospective, like the video just cuts to him on eBay ordering like a model of her with tits. Yeah, so they kind of just do the same thing, like Angemon and then Angewoman, and then I think Angemon and Angewoman duo do to Ange Mega Dude, whatever the fuck. And it's Mega Dude. Yeah.
Ange Mega Dude.
He does turn into something cool, because I remember in like the final episode, he has like a laser sword that can cut portals into reality or something.
I posted the full Evo chart of Patamon, which looks like a snowflake, just in the direction.
It goes it's like a star, yeah.
It goes all over the place. But Seraphimon would be the final evolution of that you're probably thinking of.
I'm thinking of the purple one who is one step away from Magna Angemon.
Yeah. Which who then evolves into Seraphimon or Valkyramon.
Yeah.
Yeah. So the shows, honestly, the last time that I watched Digimon, I think I came home from the bar and I watched half an episode and woke up to episode 15. and it was fine. Good to sleep too. I think it's fine. Like if you like the show, it's okay. It's nothing that's groundbreaking or anything, but there's cool fights. The monsters themselves are fine. The animations are cool.
There's one here on the Patamon tree where it's Patamon, who is again Hamtaro with bat wings. Then he can turn into Prairiemon, which looks like a rabbit with like these giant mechanical like slashing claws. And
it's
then that
supposed to be a prairie dog, right?
Yeah, I guess, but yeah. It's got bunny ears. And then it evolves into Bastemon. Yeah. It's like a cat with two tails.
Who has just testicles for legs. His legs just looks like a scrotum, basically. Like scrotum, like testicles made out of coral.
And he yells at 15-year-olds on Twitter and gets arrested for pizzas and stuff.
That's based fucking based.
The next iteration of Digimon Adventures, I kind of mentioned, there you have the main cast who still goes to school, but then the focus shifts to a new generation of kids who enter the Digiworld, and they have a new generation of Digivice as well, known as the D3, which also came with, there was a toy that you can get at home. Now they're like $200 to $300, depending on where you buy them.
Brutal.
But it was cool. It's a bigger device than the last one. It has three buttons on it, and it kind of is molded to fit like your whole palm.
The screen doesn't look bigger.
Well, the device is bigger.
The device is bigger, but I'm just calling out that the screen doesn't. They made the device bigger. It does look more ergonomic. I'll give them that.
Yeah.
You can do it one-handed. The other one would have been like less comfortable to do one-handed, because you would have had to like when you're in the bath on your phone, you have to hold your phone like with your pinky for like extended periods of time, and it's like starts to get uncomfortable. That was the old one. This new one, oh boy. Fits
the
your hand
one
like
looked like the TV radio that Scatman Crothers is using in The Shining, basically.
Exactly. Yeah.
You know why it has to be that much? The screen is the same because it still has the same interface, like, but it does a bunch of new things.
Okay. Yeah. It's got this 4K, that tiny, tiny screen.
No, it's still got the 16x16 pixels.
Okay.
Sprites. So same thing, you got a train feed, clean up, all that stuff. But it has detect, so it had an antenna in it, so you could wirelessly hook up with other D3s and fight with them.
Oh,
so
cool.
You could like under your desk fight your friends. You could discover Digimentals. So if you were near Yeah. If you're in your radios worked really well, or TVs with an antenna on it, mm-hmm. you could catch the broadcast or whatever it was, and it would turn into items that you could feed to your cool. Digimon to level them up. And there's an unlimited amount that you could just keep feeding them and getting them super powerful.
You got it like on your dashboard next to the police radio, and you're just like spawning cocaine into your
Yeah, you're watching you were watching Digimon earlier in the day, but now your dad takes over the TV because he's got Fox to watch, and it just turns into shit that you can feed to your Digimon. Mainstream news, like, oh boy, shovel the shit into my Digimon.
Yeah,
power of toxicity.
That's how you'd get your Patamon to transform into one of these more like evil angel looking things. Is if you feed it like Three Nights of Tucker Carlson, it turns into like Baalmon, which is the evil angel here.
Just Agumon with Trump's hair.
Oh, this is good. Anyways. Yeah, that's the fake courage, basically.
This is like dipping our toe into the Digiverse. There's still like so much Digimon stuff. So if there's anything specific that you guys think would make a good episode, let me know. I'm gonna be keeping an eye on the new game when it comes out. I'm not sure if I'll buy it yet. Last time I promised to buy a game was like Fallout 76. I was like, yeah, I'm definitely going to play it. Look what happened there.
That worked out well.
Yeah. I played it eventually. But anyways, keep an eye on this. Digimon was super fun to research. It was something I liked a lot as a kid. And there's still tons more. So let me know.
Now we can basically dive in. We can like dive into the Dark Masters, because I remember liking that. That arc is etched in my head, right?
Yep. Yeah.
Cool.
So that's us.
Yeah, thanks for listening to the show, everybody. Your host has been James Miller. Jamie, what's going on, dude? What do you want to talk about? The plug this week. You got a lot of projects going, working on Back Porter? Go on.
Mostly just working on the show, and we're playing with my own Digivice at home. So just getting
good. Just sitting in the dark, playing with my Digivice.
Yeah, I didn't realize I had my camera covered because I didn't want to look at my face. And I have a script. I went from a well lit room to just a face in the dark now.
Well, yeah, the sun went down like 20 minutes ago.
Yeah. So to get into the Discord. The Discord link should be in the link. Are in the comments. In
the Discord link
below?
Should be in the link, which is in the description of this episode.
Yeah, get in there. That's where I chat with people. Today we were talking about loonies, toonies, and Canadian Tire Money. And that was very fun.
True. And Peter, what's going on? You were talking about how you have, I don't know, 100 pictures to draw a day or something. What's going on?
Pretty focused on finishing up my comic. The idea is to finish it by the end of March. And so far, so good. It's only been a week into the new year, but like, hey, it went better than I expected, frankly. Otherwise, you can follow the Instagram at Loreboys Podcast and see all the title cards. Say hi. People have been sending a lot of messages to us recently, which is always nice. And Discord, of course. Just come say hi, request shows, and we will, before there's a revolution, get to them. So don't worry about it.
Yeah, exactly. If you guys want to support the show, one of the best ways you can is to tell your friends or people who you think might enjoy the show, coworkers, strangers on the bus, passerbys on the street. If you guys want to rep some merch, we do have a merch store. The link is in the description below.
It's been popping off. Thank you very much, everybody.
Yeah, thanks so much to everybody who's bought some merch. I'm wearing a Loreboys hoodie that I got for my sister-in-law for Christmas right now. It is extremely comfortable.
You know what I think has been cool too is people having their friends in the Discord. Like you see Johto and Avocado Man and be like, oh, I didn't think to offer you this pad thai because you don't like spicy food or something. And like Pentafire and Chaz, who I think are dating. And like there's people who know each other in real life. It means people.
Get real life friends. That's important. Yeah. And then all your time with us.
Yeah, yeah, indoctrinate your friend is what we're trying to say. Okay,
exactly.
Get them taking the lore pill, if you will. Next best step to help the show is probably leave us a review on iTunes or whatever podcast app you're using. A good review, I should say. It won't help the show if you leave us a one-star review. Surprise, surprise. But really,
it might. I'm not sure if it does.
No, it won't. Super won't. Please don't test it.
If you're listening on YouTube, feel free to dislike and comment bad shit, because that's good for the algorithm.
Comment.
People on YouTube hate this show. That's what I've learned.
Yeah, but they keep listening.
You're only helping.
You got to respect the YouTube crowd, honestly.
You're
a wild bunch. Yeah. we don't advertise the show at all. So all our growth has been through word of mouth, and we've done it's grown to heights that we never would have imagined before, and it's all thanks to you guys, the listeners. So and finally, if you guys do want to support the show financially, we do have a patreon.com/thelorevoice, where you get access to bonus content. Like Jamie was saying, you'll get access to the loser titles game that we play usually on Mondays.
Secret chats in the Discord.
Secret chats where we talk about, let's see what the last thing that was being talked about in the Jet Powered Bison got a Chainsaw Man decal, which he was talking about in the chat there. So if
we
listed
our favorite Bisons,
we talk about that's the Patreon AMA. Yeah, David, last name withheld, asked us for our favorite episodes. Anyway, check out the Patreon. The link is in the description. It's patreon.com/thelorevoice. We have a couple different tiers there, which gets you access. All of them get you access to most of our stuff anyway. And of course, finally, if you guys don't trust Patreon, we do have Loreboys Prime, a service that we've offered from day one. We here at the Loreboys HQ, we never stopped believing. You know, we hold true to the faith that Elvis is still alive and he's out there in a monkey costume somewhere. I don't buy it that he had a heart attack on the toilet. As longtime listeners of the show will know, the Lore Boys do a monthly visit to Graceland where we don't pay tribute. We do not mourn the death of Elvis. We look for clues. Okay. And he has left us a Da Vinci Code-esque series of clues. I'm starting to think that listen to the bonus content if you want to hear about Pete's serial killer, the guy who's coming to kill Pete. I am fairly certain that it is actually Elvis that sent you that threatening picture, Peter.
Elvis is in Ohio with a French magazine with Sharon Stone.
I've often thought I'm going to die while peeing in the middle of the night, because I have sleep apnea, and then I wake up and I start walking, so like all the blood moves. So I'm like already not doing well in my heart laying down, and then I get and I start peeing, and as soon as I push, I feel like a pit in my chest.
Okay.
So I think
your glasses, you need to go get a blood test. Okay.
I think I'm going to die standing. So I won't be pooping. You'll know, because I'll fall face first in the toilet or something.
Oh, great.
Yeah.
Jamie's going to air quotes die. And then in 30 years, he's going to be in the Digiverse in a monkey costume doing it.
Yeah, of course.
Okay. So yeah. So if you guys want to support the show, you guys can reach out to Loreboys Prime at loreboysprime.loreboysprime. And send us, so Pete's actually spearheading this section of the research. We need pictures of men in different animal costumes or suits in all kinds of different poses, right? To try and figure out which ones might be Elvis. Because I think after this episode airs, he's going to switch off of monkey pretty quick. So make sure to send Peter all your most like telling and most graphic photos of people in different animal costumes, and we'll get to the bottom of this. That's a little bit.
Some guy in a horse mask doing the Elvis pelvic thrust in Vegas. It's like we got it.
Elvis in a horse mask farting into an ASMR mic.
What?
I think that constitutes a lore boy.
Lore boys.
Boys.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.